Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And, of course, today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Did I mention beer? Oh, yeah, best selection anywhere. Soft drinks, water, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. Bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar is second to none. Stock up right now for the weekend at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. All right. Just beating the trade deadline, the Mets have acquired Yoenis Cespedes from the Detroit Tigers. Other deadlines. Let's see, other deals that met the deadline. Yoenis Cespedes goes to the Mets. Ben Revere leaves the Phillies. He's going to the Toronto Blue Jays. Dan Heron goes to the Cubs. Jonathan Broxton shores up the Cardinals bullpen. Keith Jepson, the right-hander, goes to the Twins. Mike Leake to the Giants. That's a big pickup for the Giants. Gerardo Parra goes to the Orioles, and Ben Revere goes to the Toronto Blue Jays. And as for that deal, I'm not quite sure what the Phillies got in that deal. I don't know if it's been fully announced yet what they got.
In the Ben Revere deal?
Yeah.
Two minor league pitchers, I believe it is.
Yeah. Let's see here if anybody I know. Because at one point, the Blue Jays were in the New York Penn League. They had Auburn for years and then moved the franchise to Vancouver. Let's see. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, the Jays got Mark Lowe. And then there's Ben Revere. Yeah, two minor league pitchers. Well, they really transformed that team in Toronto in a hurry, didn't they? My goodness. Yeah. See a lot here on the Twins deal. Lots of stuff on the Twins. I could care less about what the Twins got. And they got Kevin Jepson for prospects. Yippee. See? So that we'll get more on that here in a few moments as to what they got. But the Ben Revere leaves the Phillies. Chase Utley, no movement. Didn't go. So there was a lot of talk about what the Padres were going to do. So far, we haven't seen anything on what the Padres did, if anything. Unless, again, all you have to do is agree on the deal and have the paperwork in before 4 o'clock. Then after that, there's a couple details to work on. Again, that's why really between now and 4:30, we'll find out all the deals that have come down the pipe. But as a writer, the big one is Cespedes, and he went to the Mets. Big Ten Media Day rolling on in Chicago. Corey Geiger, Altoona Mirror is out there. Corey, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, Steve, you betcha, man. Beautiful day here in Chicago. And if you let everybody hear Franklin's press conference, he had some good things to say this morning.
Yeah, I thought he went through the checklist pretty well, and I thought he also handled the rivalry thing well. I thought he handled the SEC part well. What's the news of the day out of there? I mean, you're somebody that's looking for some news to come out of seven canned press conferences plus Bill Carollo, Jim Delaney. Where's the news for you there?
Yeah, a couple things that I thought that James talked about that were interesting. Most people probably know this. They're kind of common sense, but he did point out during his opening remarks just how different things are compared to a year ago. And when you really take a look back and you consider where Penn State is right now compared to a year ago, where the Big Ten is right now compared to a year ago. We're talking about, it, as Franklin said, 180-degree difference. Penn State's in a much better place post-sanctions. The Big Ten's coming off of a national championship and a great bowl season. So number one, I thought that was interesting, that the way people look at Penn State and the way people look at the Big Ten right now is very different than just a year ago. And number two, Franklin did say, I thought this was pretty comical, hey, go ahead and write some more nasty things about the offensive line and Christian Hackenberg, because he's like, we feed off of that. The guys do get a chip on their shoulder from that. It's motivation for us. So a lot of criticism last year, certainly, Steve, for the offensive line. And Franklin, kind of in a lighthearted way, said, hey, you guys in the media, just keep writing that stuff. We'll use it to our advantage.
Something that's been brought up out there is strength of schedule. The Big Ten right now, what a lot of people don't realize, actually plays the second highest percentage of non-conference games against other Power 5 opponents, and they also have the lowest percentage of games against FCS, which will then become, without question, the lowest because you're not going to be allowed to. There's been, obviously, next year they'll go to the 9-game schedule in the conference. What was the thought process as you listened to it about strength of schedule and what it means, especially considering Ohio State got into the Final Four last year?
Well, one of the great things about coming out here is we get to spend a lot of time with some people maybe that we don't generally get to spend a lot of time with in the media. We got a 20-minute question and answer session with Sandy Barber about an hour and a half ago, and that was strength of schedule, scheduling Pitt, finances of the athletic department. Those were all the major topics. And there are a lot of very intriguing and complicated types of things around all that, Steve. But here's what it basically comes down to. James Franklin kind of wants to schedule the easiest games that he can schedule in the non-conference because he doesn't want to lose any games and risk playing themselves out of a college football playoff. Because, look, the way it works is if Penn State – and even lose maybe one game, but win the conference championship game, then they're going to be in great shape to go to the college football playoff. If you mess around and lose a non-conference game because you're trying to schedule, you know, very high, well, then all of a sudden, now one conference loss and you're out of the mix. So that's one component of it. But the other side is, and this is what we talked about at length with Sandy Barber, you got to sell tickets. You got to get 107,000 people in the seats because you got to pay for your athletic department. Penn State is a self-sustaining athletic department, as you very well know. We talked with Sandy. There aren't a lot of schools like Penn State in the country where they don't draw any money from the general university fund. They pay for everything themselves. So there is a balance, and it's an interesting balance because I can completely understand where James Franklin is coming from, that he doesn't want to have these huge tests in the non-conference. But if that's the case, Steve, you can't blame 8, 10, 15,000 people if they don't want to show up on some Saturdays if there aren't a lot of marquee home games. And if that's the case, every seat that's empty is money that the athletic department stands to lose. So Penn State's in an intriguing situation from that standpoint, I think.
You mentioned in that answer that the subject of Pitt came up. So where did they fit in that scheduling model when Sandy Barber talked about it?
Yeah, we asked Sandy. She got 6-7 questions about Pitt. She said that she is going to be talking with their athletic director. We couldn't really pin down an answer. Hey, Sandy, do you want to play Pitt year in and year out? Well, that's something we're going to look at. You know, she kept saying those kinds of things. But here's the bottom line, Steve. They're going to play a home-and-home against Pitt for the next 4 years.
Yes.
Well, for a long, long time, Joe Paterno did not want to play a home-and-home against Pitt, nor should Penn State have played a home-and-home against Pitt once Beaver Stadium is attracting 100,000 fans. And I know this frustrates Pitt fans, and Pitt fans may say, well, you know, you Penn State people are being egotistical about this. It's about dollars and cents. Penn State, in my opinion, and, you know, again, we talked about this with Sandy, Penn State just can't afford to play a home-and-home with Pitt every year for 20 years. You know, if Pitt wants to get its program to a standpoint where they're drawing those kinds of big crowds to Heinz Field every week, or they can work out some type of financial arrangement where it benefits Penn State, Well, then sure, but I do think Joe was right all those years. I mean, why should we give you a home and home when we can get 100,000 people for Youngstown State? Mm-hmm. You can't fill up Heinz Field for almost anybody.
Here's the logistical issue with the schedule, with the new commitment to 9 games in the conference that starts next year. And the logistical issue is this. I'm sure Sandy pointed out they need 7 home games. That means you have 3 non-conference games. That means there's only one game that you can really schedule as a home and away against, quote, someone in that schedule model. If you had 8 Big Ten games, you'd have more flexibility there. Was that an element that came up about the lack of flexibility because of 9 and only really having that one slot that can be a home and away?
Absolutely. And for the conference to play 9 conference games, and they're not allowed to play any FBS teams. So, again, it's what the fans want to see, Steve, versus certain realities and vested interests. James Franklin has a vested interest to try to go undefeated.
Yes.
Sandy Barber has a vested interest, sure, to go undefeated, but she's also got a vested interest to try to get 107,000 people in the seats.
Yeah, to pay for sports.
Exactly, to pay for 31 sports. And those kind of collide a little bit. Now, again, I'm not trying to insinuate that there's, you know, any hard feelings about the schedule between Sandy Barber and James Franklin, but Penn State does need money. James Franklin talks about how he wants to make a lot of capital improvements. Sandy Barber herself has said we're a $120 million entity. We need to be about a $150 million entity. So these are all the realities. And look, if I'm James Franklin and my sole goal is to get to the college football playoff, well, yeah, I don't necessarily want to risk losing a game during the non-conference. But if I'm a fan and I'm trying to decide if I want to go out to watch all of these non-conference games that Penn State's bringing to Beaver Stadium, well, then sure, I can understand why there might be frustration.
How do you feel about the Big Ten going to 9 conference games the way the Pac-12 did years ago?
Yeah, you know, because of everything we just talked about, yeah, there's a lot more schools in the league, and you're going to have a better feel for the true best team if you're playing more opponents. So I understand the reason for all of that, but it does handcuff you. So, again, what we're talking around about sort of way here, Steve, is we want everything. We all want everything. We want the best schedule, the best non-conference opponents, the best way to get to the college football playoff. Well, some of these things kind of contradict each other. So, to be perfectly honest with you, I would probably prefer to see an 8-game conference schedule because if that allows a possibility for some more flexibility to play a national opponent in a non-conference, you know, no disrespect to Maryland and Rutgers and all the teams that are in the Big Ten now, but the Penn State fans want to be seeing all these teams, Indiana, Purdue. Do they want to be seeing these teams year in and year out, or do they want much more flavor of – Yeah. You know, the likes of an Alabama or, you know, a Florida or Florida State or somebody like that, if that could be possible.
Yeah, from this point forward, it's going to be obviously what James Franklin and Sandy Barber decide. What James Franklin's playing this year, he did not decide. It was also a schedule that was put together when they were looking around saying they were going to have 65 scholarships. When you have talked to people on your show and they've brought up this year's schedule, has it been difficult at times? I know I found it difficult at times to convince people, look, this is, you know, if you were sitting in the room 3 years ago, this is the schedule you put together.
Yeah. There is the give and take. Fans should understand why this schedule is what it is.
I mean, I'm talking this year. That's what I'm talking about, this
year's
schedule.
It makes perfect sense because they tried to schedule relatively easy wins, thinking that they were going to be dealing with 65 scholarships. So, Steve, I have no problem with it for this year.
Right.
But, again, I'm not paying my money to go see 5 consecutive home games in 5 consecutive weeks against Buffalo and San Diego State and Army.
Right.
So I do try to put myself in the fans' shoes to a degree. If I'm a fan, Steve, and you do a great job on your show talking about this a lot, you've got to make the experience in the stadium equal to or better than the experience on your couch.
No question.
And I think that's a major point that you talk about frequently, that all sports are going to have to deal with going forward. I do understand fans' frustrations if they're looking at five consecutive home games over five consecutive weeks,
right,
even though there's a legitimate reason for it, that they could get upset by that.
Right. Just so fans know, the original schedule in the third week of the season was supposed to be Nebraska. And that's when there was a non-conference game. When they joined the Big Ten, they dropped out. That's when Penn State scheduled Rutgers as the non-conference game as a replacement. And they were also supposed to have, at this point, a home and away with BYU. But when everything came down 3 years ago, there was a mutual agreement not to play it. So,
and here's the thing, Steve.
Just to lay it out for everybody.
I believe they're going to be 6-0. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll stub their toe somewhere else. I think it's 5-1 at worst. But they're 35th in the coaches' poll. If they go 6-0, whether it's a legitimate 6-0, whether they've accomplished great things yet or not, you know, we'll see starting with Ohio State. But if they're 6-0, they're ranked in the top 25. Those players are feeling good about themselves. So there are intangible benefits to scheduling. But now the flip side is, like the men's basketball team last year, they scheduled a lot of games, and it didn't quite get them to where they needed to be starting the conference season. So there's a give and take with that as well. But with this particular team still dealing with all the depth issues, I think if they go 6-0 and they're feeling great about themselves, that might give them the best chance to go to Columbus and try to pull off an upset.
Well, two people here who always enjoy their give and take every time we get together on the air or off the air. Thanks so much for giving us a few minutes today, Corey. And you and I will be talking a lot more as the season goes along.
Hey, Steve, you guys enjoy the rest of your afternoon. I'm looking out at the Willis Tower now. It used to be I call it the Sears Tower. It's a beautiful day here. I know the Penn State players and Franklin, they're having a great time here.
Yeah, that's terrific. Thanks, Corey. Enjoy the rest of it.
Thanks, Steve.
Corey Geiger joining us from Chicago. We will come back with more in a moment. Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated, coming up in the final half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, again on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The record will be broken. That's right, the 100-year record is going to be broken this month if Sunbury Motors sells 80 new Fords by July 31st. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new Focus for $16,863. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new Ford Escape for $19,993. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new F-150 4x4 for under $30,000. Sunbury Motors isn't taking this record lightly. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, you owe it to yourself to go to Sunbury Motors before August 1st. If you want 0% on your next 2015 Focus, Fusion, Escape, Explorer, or Expedition, SMC is where you want to be. Sunbury Motors will sell 80 new Fords by July 31st. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. SMC is where you want to be to save more money on your next new Ford.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
All right, lots of trades to talk about, as expected. The biggest one is Yoenis Cespedes going to the Mets right at the deadline. Good left fielder. Good left fielder. And also a power bat in the middle of the Mets lineup. The Pirates have acquired J.A. Happ from the Mariners, and they did so for Adrian Sampson. I'm surprised the Pirates gave up Adrian Sampson. He's a good pitcher in that system. He started out his career here in State College and has pitched well at every level. But J.A. Happ goes from the Mariners to the Pirates for Adrian Sampson. The Yankees made no deals at the wire. Carlos Gomez does not go to the Mets. He goes to the Astros. As for Ben Revere, two minor league pitchers. Tommy Hunter goes from Baltimore to the Cubs for outfielder Junior Lake. Padres dealt no one. Red Sox dealt no one. Yankees dealt no one. And I mentioned Ben Revere already going to the Jays. And Jonathan Broxton to the Cardinals, Danny Heron to the Cubs, Kevin Jepsen from the Rays to the Twins, Mike Leake from the Reds to the Giants, Rado Parra to the Orioles, and of course Ben Revere to the Blue Jays. So that's the trade deadline news there. The latest being J.A. Happ going to the Pirates for Adrian Sampson. And Michael Morse just went to the Pirates for Jose Tabata. Morse can play first base. That's the key. That's why the Pirates did it. There's no question. This is Tabata's a total giveaway. He's no better than a fifth outfielder on most teams. He's a fourth outfielder on a mediocre team. He'll be a fifth outfielder maybe in Los Angeles. Morse can play first base. That's why they got him. All right. Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated, recruiting, final half hour. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best beer selection anywhere, soft drink, snacks, water, fresh hot roasted peanuts, and the pickle bar. That's Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, it's Friday. It's time to stock up for the weekend. There's only one place to do that. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Plenty of parking. Store so well set up. Easy access. A lot of help. And they have the best selection of beer. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Peanuts are roasted fresh and hot every day. Water, soft drinks, snacks, and the pickle bar, as we all know now by now, is second to none. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Sheldon Richardson, you may have seen, caught going 143 miles per hour. They released the police report on that. Driving a 2014 Bentley Silver Spur. There was also a 12-year-old in the vehicle at the time. Really? 143 miles an hour. That's just unconscionable. He's 24 years old. He made the Pro Bowl last year. Had 70 tackles. There's one other person in the car. On so many different levels. All right, we have dealt with a lot today with college football because of Big Ten Media Day continuing in Chicago. We heard James Franklin's press conference earlier. We also heard from Corey Geiger in Chicago, courtesy of the Altoona Mirror. Now we're going to get to the recruiting part of it. And when it comes to the recruiting part of it, we always turn to Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated. Ryan, first of all, welcome back, my friend. It's great to have you on. And I want to start with from this angle here. Maryland's in the Big Ten now. And you don't just do a lot of Penn State recruiting. You also cover the Maryland part of the recruiting as well. Has being in the Big Ten at all done anything for Randy Etzel's recruiting at Maryland?
Yeah, I think it has helped them to a degree. With Maryland, You know, they're always going to recruit, you know, their area hard, you know, which is the, you know, the general D.C., Baltimore area. And they have plucked a few really solid prospects from Penn State. Well, actually, not necessarily from Penn State, but, you know, guys that they were, you know, both going after. You know, and actually, Maryland's going to get another really solid commitment today from, you know, Ellis, the wide receiver from DeMatha. But, you know, I think if you really look over it, you know, since the game last year and everything, I still think that Penn State has been able to, you know, get the prospects that they're really after. You know, the Ellison Jordan, defensive tackle from Gilman in Baltimore is a good example. You know, he kind of came down to Maryland and Penn State and, you know, ultimately in the end, you know, chose the Nittany Lions. And there's been a couple other guys in the mix there. You know, with that going forward, I mean, it's all about, I think it's going to be mainly about wins and losses on the field, you know, and, you know, Maryland was able to get a good win last year, and, you know, Penn State's going to be a little stronger this year. So I'm very curious to see how that game shakes out, especially with Maryland losing some people. But, you know, if Maryland is able to, you know, maybe get a couple more wins here in the next couple of years, I think that'll help. But for the most part, it hasn't impacted Penn State that much. I mean, you know, they've been able to get the guys that they want from that area, and, you know, I don't really see that changing until, you know, not only Maryland beats Penn State, but, you know, Maryland needs to prove that, you know, they're going to be a consistent, you know, 7-8 win team, you know, and until I think that they're able to start dominating, you know, their area like they are trying to do.
Is it about the same as they were getting with the ACC? Any change there?
For the most part, yeah. You know, one thing with Maryland that they've done is they hired a couple new coaches 2 years ago, or excuse me, going into last season. And since then, you know, they've really actually branched out much more than what they've done in the past. I mean, they recruiting some kids from Texas. They actually have Keenan McCardell, who was a former NFL wide receiver. He's their wide receiver coach now, and he's from the Houston area. So he's done a good job down there. And, you know, they've branched out more, in recent years. That's the one thing I've noticed. But, you know, for the most part, yeah, it's not much different than what they were at the ACC. I mean, they'll have a top 50 class for sure. And, you know, right now I think they have a chance to crack the top 25. But, you know, like I said, you know, I think they need to prove that they're going to be a consistent 7-8 win team, until they can probably take that next step.
Right. Overall, at this time of the year, how quiet is it? I do know that Penn State, I think, has a visit next weekend, I think, from somebody, but it's distant. It's something like a 2018 kid that they'll be entertaining. So how active can you be now, and when can the true activity then kick into gear again?
Yeah, this is definitely the slowest time of the year, which I'm surely not complaining about that. I don't think the coaches are either. But no, they had the last bash a couple weeks ago, and that was the big thing of the summer. But for the most part, July is always kind of, you know, the calm month, I would say. You know, the dead period was the first 2 weeks of the month, and that's, you know, when all the coaches go on vacation or whatnot. And since then, they've had a few guys pop up here and there, and, you know, but for the most part, you know, with recruits, you know, with their season coming up and, you know, vacations and all that stuff, it is much more slower than basically the other 11 months. So, you know, once preseason gets going next week, I think we're going to see some guys come on up to campus. You know, you mentioned the 2018 prospect I wrote about, Zach Kuntz, who's from Camp Hill. He's going to be a really, really good player. He's entering his sophomore season now. He's, you know, the younger brother of Christian Kuntz, and also Brandon, who is a walk-on on Penn State right now. So he's going to be a guy that Penn State fans really follow closely in the next couple of years. He reminds me a lot of Brenneman when it comes to his, you know, character and personality. Very bright guy, knows how to represent himself well, which is always very important. But, you know, from a physical perspective, he's actually a lot closer to someone like Jesse James. He's going to be a specimen for sure, Steve. I mean, he's a legit 6'6", 210 now, and he can't even drive yet. So very curious to see how he pulls out. He's going to be a guy that Penn State and all the other regional schools recruit very hard.
Right. Okay. Now, once they get to, you know, once we get past this segment here, they have a lot of verbals at this point. What impact, when you talk to recruits, do home games have on recruits?
They're very important. you know, especially the whiteout games. I mean, the whiteout games are a difference maker. No doubt about that in my mind. You know, I'm yet to talk to too many recruits to say they go to other games and experience better atmospheres than that whiteout. But, you know, for the most part, every game is important to some degree. You know, these recruits understand that, you know, when they're coming up here, it's not about, you know, mingling with the coaches. It's about, you know, coming to see the game and the atmosphere and everything that goes along with that. You know, with some recruits, you know, they are coming up to see the student section. They're coming up to see, you know, the crowd environment and how that works. You know, but for others, you know, they watch the game hard. You know, they really try and, you know, see the different formations and how they use, you know, different players at their given position. So, you know, it's a little different, you know, for everybody. Everyone has their, you know, whatever they want to focus on, I guess you'd say. But, you know, it's always very, very important to get them up here and show them that atmosphere on game day, show them just the town in general and, you know, how much support Penn State has behind them. So it's going to be very important. You know, the first couple games every year are usually kind of smaller just because it is against weaker opponents usually. And, you know, the coaches also, I think they like to just kind of focus in and, you know, make sure that they're all running good in those first couple games. You know, but they will have a couple recruits up, but mainly the committed prospects are going to be the ones that, you know, come up in September.
James Franklin has discussed openly that there's, in the football sense, more of a sense of normalcy returning to the program. When you look back over the last couple of years, how high was the percentage of kids that wouldn't touch Penn State with a 10-foot pole, and what's it like now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I get that a lot. And, you know, I would – obviously this is all estimating and just my opinion.
Sure, it's
but
guesstimates.
Yeah. I think that you know, 3 years ago, I would guess that out of, you know, maybe the top 100 prospects that Penn State was pursuing, I would say maybe between 20 and 30 of them you know, would open up and say, you know, I've seen a lot of things in the news. My parents aren't, you know, really big on that. And, you know, there was definitely, you know, I talked to a lot of parents, and I think the parents were the ones that were kind of turned away from that more than anything. But, you know, since then, and especially since Franklin's taken over and, you know, really made a big priority to show, you know, the academic side of things and all the positives that, you know, Penn State has, you know, established themselves over the years. But that definitely has dwindled. But I do still hear that. You know, I do have prospects, you know, bring that up still. I would say it's probably closer to maybe like 10% now. And you know what? I don't know if that's ever going to completely go away, or at least not before the end of the decade. I mean, people, that was a big deal, as you know, and everybody else that follows Penn State. I mean, they were in the national news. I mean, they opened up, you know, the nightly news on NBC, you know, for 2 weeks straight. I mean, that was a big, big deal. So, you know, you're going to have a couple guys over the next couple years that probably still bring that up. For the most part, it has dwindled quite a bit.
Is that from memory or is it from negative recruiting?
You know, that's a good question. I you know, there's always definitely negative recruiting, and I would not be surprised at all if coaches are still using that to their advantage. But, you know, for the most part, when I talk to players and parents about that stuff, it usually comes from the parent and their memory of the situation. So I you know, I don't get too many recruits that open up about that, but parents talk to me about that stuff much more. So I would say, you know, recruiting, negative recruiting probably does play into it a little bit, but, you know, I never can get too many specifics on that kind of stuff. But you know, the parents bring that up from memory more than anything.
Obviously, these are young men making decisions. These are also young men that have friends. Some, the high-profile ones, have a little entourage about around them. In the end, when you talk to the parents, what kind of sense of influence do you think they have over decisions?
It really does vary, Steve. I mean, you know, some prospects, you know, honestly don't have, you know, a great family atmosphere, which is unfortunate, but that is the case for many of these top guys, especially in cities. I mean, that's just the truth.
Some have a single parent. Others, it's a grandparent.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've talked to recruits that live with their uncles and aunts, and it's unfortunate, but it's just the truth. But, you know, I would say that for the majority of prospects, parents do have a pretty big say in this decision. you know, a lot of parents, I've been talking to a lot of parents about how, you know, they like to just take an hour every night, not every night, but, you know, an hour here and there, I guess you would say, and just call these coaches and get to know them better. And that's huge because Franklin is just excellent with that. I mean, he's very open and honest. You know, he tells it like it is, which is extremely important. So a lot of parents do have a big, big say, but, you know, there are times where, you know, I talk to mom and dad and they say, hey, this is their decision. You know, we prefer he stays somewhat close to home so we can go watch him play. But, you know, at the end of the day, they leave it totally up to the prospect. So you know, for the most part, though, I would definitely suggest that parents play a big role in, you know, probably 50 to 75% of these decisions.
All right, here's another variable in this. Obviously, picking a major, picking a location, picking a coaching staff, there are a lot of things that come into play. Close to home sometimes comes into play. Have you talked to some of the, when you've talked to some of the higher level guys, has the conversation of the ability to get to the college football playoff entered into that conversation?
Yeah, it definitely has. Especially when, you know, Penn State right now is recruiting against some of the best of the best. You know, there are prospects out there that Penn State is probably in the top three right now. And, you know, some of the schools they're going against are, you know, the best of the best of the SEC, Alabama, you know, Georgia, LSU, you name it. So it does come into play.
One final question. When do you expect, and you're so used to the cycle now, for things to kick back into a high gear across the country? It doesn't necessarily have to mean Penn State. So give the fans an idea when they can expect things to go into a different cycle here.
Yeah, when the season starts, I think that's fair. You know, they will have prospects up for preseason camp. You know, they'll probably have, I don't know, I would guess maybe around a dozen or so that are able to make it up. But, you know, with preseason starting for all these high schools as well, especially some of them have two-a-days, some of them outside of state have three-a-days, it does become grueling, you know, with the travel and all that. So once the season kicks off, we'll really see things ramp up. And especially for Penn State, I would say probably around the San Diego State game. Or excuse me, no, the Rutgers game. The Rutgers game is going to be really, really big for them. That's going to be another 40, 50, 60 kids. Yeah, they're going to have a huge, huge showing for that. So Rutgers game is probably the big event to circle. But you're going to hear about, you know, recruits trickling in to watch practice here over the next couple weeks.
All right. Hey, be safe as you drive back. Look forward to talking to you very soon, Ryan. Thanks a lot, man.
No problem, Steve. Take care. Talk to you guys soon.
That's Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated. We'll wrap up the week in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
All right, wrapping it up for the week. Great to have you with us on board. Kevin was on vacation. His birthday was yesterday. The after show, the tributes. I know you probably were wondering.
I was.
After show is a good spot for stuff like that. After show is good for a lot of things.
All right.
Trade deadline. Yoenis Cespedes goes to the Mets. Ben Revere to the Blue Jays. Two minor league pitchers involved. Those are the big ones. The Pirates get J.A. Happ from the Mariners, but they do so for Adrian Sampson. I'm not so sure that's a great deal for the Pirates long term. Marlins send Danny Heron to the Cubs. Philly sent Ben Revere to the Jays. Two minor league pitchers. Brewers sent outfielder Gerardo Parra to the Orioles. Orioles send Tommy Hunter to the Cubs. Big one, though, is probably Cespedes out of all of them, going to the Mets. Padres did nothing. Red Sox did nothing. Oh, the other one, too, is Michael Morse. Not big in some ways, but they sent Jose Tabata, which, you know, no offense, but okay, for Morse. Morse can at least play first base and brings a little power there. He's not going to be a 300 hitter or anything like that, but that's an interesting first base insurance move by the Pirates. Now, any move you make between now and August 31st, the player has to clear waivers in order for the trade to happen. You could make all these trades up to the 4 o'clock Eastern time deadline now and didn't have to have a player clear waivers. That's what makes it so significant. Between now and August 31st, the player must clear waivers. Now, you can make deals in September, too, but the difference is on August 31st, September 1st, that's the day that if you're on the roster on August 31st, you're eligible for postseason play. That's the key. If you say, for example, a team brings up a guy September 1st, and he goes out and hits 480 in the month of September, he can't be on the postseason roster if that's the only time he was on the major league team all year. So that's the significance of the dates involved here. So everything's waivers between now and the end. So a player, and now you get to the game of guys claiming guys before their teams see them. You know, and it's all part of gamesmanship. I'm going to take a little time here. We're going to have Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, coming back on Monday, August 10th. We're going to talk about the business side of sports. We're looking forward to that very much, getting Tony back on the show. It's been a couple months since we've had Tony on the show, and the brilliance and the insight he brings to the table is something you're not going to find in the in average business guests. He is locked in. By the way, speaking of locked in, Tiger Woods is only a shot back at the Quicken Loans. He's done for the day, too. Shot 67 today. He's 8 under par for the tournament. He's a shot back of Kevin Chappell. So Jonathan Papelbon, Ben Revere, and Cole Hamels are all gone. The Phillies, attempting to revamp, have improved their farm system this week. There's no question about that. Next week, believe it or not, the first NFL preseason game, the Steelers and the Vikings, on the day that Jerome Bettis is inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Today's show has been brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Our thanks to Corey Geiger, Altoona Mirror. Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated, for joining us today, along with Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. If you missed anything, check out the Steve Jones Show podcast, including the James Franklin press conference from Chicago. Have a great weekend, everyone.